broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
It was very loud, three or four times. I don't think she said anything.
And then two other patients were had snuck out, went drinking.
It's less about the money savings as more of a habit.
What I say to the American people is that we are...
I heart Jews.
I love you.
Holy God. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I turned the video cast off.
No, there's people going, what did you do?
I turned off the video cast. I'm sorry, I will never do that again, but I'm so pissed off tonight. And I just, you know, behind the scenes pissed off, acting completely inappropriately. So I just said, I'm turning this thing. I'm not going to have people looking at me going, for one night, they're not going to look at me bouncing off the walls.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, man, asking, how come you turn off the video cast, man? They pay for that, man.
Oh, well, they pay for it, do they? Well, they can live without 1 hour of the video cast tonight. I'm sorry, but I just did.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people going to be mad.
Well, I don't care if they're mad, you know? Besides, we're going to be spending a lot of time in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be upgrading our video. And by the middle of January, because I just talked to Elaine, that was the other thing I talked to her about tonight, we are putting in a whole new video studio in here. So that's going to be a very beautiful thing. But no, I was coming unglued for a whole bunch of reasons, and I decided that I would just turn the video cast off. What, do you want me to turn it back on now?
Yeah, well, how are you going to turn the video cast back on? I'm going to be like two video casts on demand tomorrow.
Two video casts. So what if there ain't going to be no two video casts on demand tomorrow? They'll just be the first one. But I can turn the video back on if you guys want me to.
Think of the next break, you got to turn it on and people will be pissed off.
Well, look at you, man, all worried about what people think. Wow. A guy that looks and smells like you.
Well.
Anyway, welcome back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. So when I do turn the video cast back on... you'll know where to go. You'll know where to go to look at it. Now, we have a number of stories to do tonight, and one of them is a radio story. We always love these radio stories. This one's bizarre beyond words. This is a New York radio story, and it has to do with some guy at Hot 97, whatever the hell it's called, you know. And I don't mean to be disparaging, but every town's got a hot this and a hot that. And this cat apparently made some on-air crack about Haitian women. Now, the funny part of it is, he didn't get fired. As a matter of fact, the radio station is standing behind him. Now, that's a story for the century. If you want my honest opinion, Hot 97 DJ's job safe, despite... That's one of those headlines that Mad Magazine would do.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like a headline we'd like to see.
Yeah, they don't pretend like it is real.
Yeah.
Man, I bet you blow the timing of everything, man.
No, I didn't. I said they pretend like it's real.
Okay, bud, we get it. God.
What do you always stick up for him for?
Because we get it, man. Yeah, this is... I don't know. You just are too slow. All right. I'm sorry, okay? I apologize.
All you're doing is yelling at people tonight.
All right, I apologize. God. Look at me, man. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to do something else here. So here it is. Hot 97 and the DJ. Demonstrators gathered outside the offices of Hot 97 on Tuesday calling for the firing of one of the station's morning show disc jockeys after he made an on-air crack slamming the Haitian community, but the station's standing behind a DJ. To me, that's remarkable. And I don't mean to be funny. That really is remarkable. DJ Cypher Sounds, whose co-host the station's early morning show, infuriated listeners last Friday after explaining the reason why he's never contracted the HIV virus. The reason I'm HIV negative is because I don't mess with Haitian girls.
Wow! Oh, man. And they still got that guy on here, huh?
Yep. They still got him on the air. But it's a whole other... It's a different world from the white world that I'm in here. And, Robert, you straddle both worlds.
What do you mean I straddle both worlds?
Well, you can understand this, can't you?
Well, yeah, I understand. I mean, there are, like, different kind of black people. They're American black, they're Haitian black. And in the black community, it's all right to, I'm an American, I'm not a Haitian, you know. And so it's sort of cool to say, at least I got that, you know.
And all right, so what you're saying is it's cool to say, at least I got that, but really what you're saying is I'm better than a Haitian girl at least, and so therefore what I can do is put her down for being, you know, sort of disease-ridden, and everything's good.
No, not everything's good, but it's not the racism like a white man's going to do. The white man said, I'm HIV free because I don't mess with Haitian girl. Then the man's in trouble, you know, because of the tradition of whites and black. But the tradition of black on black or black, American black and Caribbean black, is that's what's been going on for a long time, you know.
But it's accepted.
What do you mean it's accepted?
Well, in other words, it's okay in the black community to point out the differences. I don't know whether you want to call it stratification, social stratification, or national stratification. But if you're a African-American, as opposed to African-Caribbean or African-Carib, you're better.
Well, yeah. I mean, you are better. I mean, you feel you're a citizen of a better country, a better culture. You know, so if I say I don't want to go down to Haiti, I don't want to mess around in Jamaica, something like that. And another thing, you said this yourself, and you're right about it. American black don't want to go down there because we don't necessarily get treated with any kind of respect by those people. The white people get treated better than black people do, you know.
But then white people get treated better than American black people do.
That's right. That's right. You know, you told me you were in Jamaica. You said they treated you better.
No, they didn't treat me better. What do you mean they treated me better?
You said you were down there and you were traveling with your black girlfriend.
No, when did I ever say that they treated me better than my black girlfriend?
Well, didn't you say they were hassling her? They didn't hassle you.
No, they didn't hassle her. What happened was that she was walking down the street. I wasn't even with her. She was she left the hotel and was walking down the street, and she got bugged and followed by this kid that was panhandling. And she finally came back to the hotel, and the kid was still following her in. And I think finally the hotel told the kid to bug off.
Yeah, but did anybody follow you?
No. No. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I mean, the kid was following her because she was this American woman. She's a black American woman. She's very pretty. And the kid was following her, and no, he would not have done that with me. But I don't know, is that a man thing, or is that a...
Well, I mean, it is true. It's like a male thing, but it's also, you're white, and so you're perceived as a person who is a traditional tourist, you know.
So, in other words, American blacks putting down Caribbean blacks is...
It's more like the way everything's done. You know, it's not necessarily going to be perceived as a bad thing.
Well, I mean, I guess the people that were demonstrating were what?
Those are mostly Haitian peoples from where they live.
Like in New York.
They were Haitians in New York. Okay. So anyway, he made this crack. He said, the reason why I'm HIV negative is I don't mess around with Haitian girls. His real name is Luis Diaz. Is this guy black?
Yeah, I think he's black.
All right, Luis Diaz later apologized for the remark after the station was flooded with phone calls and emails. I made a stupid, tasteless joke that was a one-liner that was taken totally the wrong way. Okay, so he made a stupid, tasteless joke that was a one-liner that was taken totally the wrong way. Why did he say that?
Because that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that black people in America will say, all right, I'm sorry, but you know... You know, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. It's almost as if to say what I'm saying. I got a right to say what I'm saying. You can't tell me I can't, you know.
No, I hear you. So, but I don't even imagine. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we just turned the video stream back on.
Yeah, okay. I'll let everybody know on tweener.
Yeah, you let them know on tweener.
What do you mean tweener, man?
I said tweener.
Twitter? Wow. We have the apology, by the way. Thanks, Jace. We have DJ Cypher Sound's apology. Here he is from Hot 97, and he's the morning show disc jockey there, Cypher Sound, saying he's sorry for saying that he's HIV negative because he doesn't mess with Haitian girls.
There's a lot of talk right now, a lot of Haitians calling up the radio station, making complaints, and a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook and all that about a joke I made early this morning on the morning show. I made a stupid tasteless joke that was a one-liner that was taken totally the wrong way. And I want to say sincerely that I apologize.
Okay, now here he is explaining what made him decide to say he's sorry. He is a big supporter of Haitians.
I'm embarrassed about because I do nothing but rep for the Haitian people. You know, and I'm talking to my listeners. I can't talk for people that don't listen to the radio station and don't know how I rep for the Caribbean West Indian people. And when I do parties,
for real,
I start every party with where are my Haitians at, Sac Passe. You know what I'm saying? And when the earthquake hit, you know, we call the Salvation Army and we try to raise much money. And I don't even want to get into like I'm like some political figure. I made a stupid joke.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I'll say this. I mean, it's kind of refreshing to see a station stand behind a guy as opposed to saying to them, which is generally what happens. Now, we want you to apologize. OK, I apologize. Now you're fired. You know.
Yeah, that's what most of the time happened.
Right. So I have to say that this is a very welcome thing. Now, he's a disc jockey. Luis Diaz is from Puerto Rico, but he's African-American, right?
Yeah, no, he a black man. Puerto Rico is American territory.
No, I know that. All right, so anyway, his apology, though, apparently wasn't enough for the Haitian community and the Haitian community leaders who rallied outside Hot 97 headquarters in the West Village there in New York on Tuesday. Haitian Americans said an apology was not enough. He said, as you just heard, it was a joke, but the people said, no, that was not a joke. That was a serious insult. Haitian-born city councilman Matai Eugene was heard speaking. Now, here is the market manager for the company SVP. I don't know what the hell company that is, but that's the broadcast company. And the market manager is Alexandra Cameron, and she said, quote, he will not be fired. She said this in an email statement. He's a young man who made a mistake. He does not have a track record of any malice, and we're handling this as an internal matter. And that's an Emma station, right? Well, what is SVP?
I don't know. That's Jason said, Rand says Emma.
That's Emu.
Oh, SVP, Senior Vice President. That shows you how stupid I am.
What?
What do you mean, Emu? You're calling me stupid.
Yeah, you said that the SVP, though. That's not a broadcast senior vice president.
Right. And the company's called Emmis, not Emu.
Yeah, you made a worser mistake.
I made a worser mistake. Yeah, sure.
All right, never mind. Nearly one in four students who try to join the Army are so stupid they can't get in. Hey, all right. And meanwhile, Lindsay Lohan may be in even more trouble with the law. She's been accused of beating up a Betty Ford Center like, you know, somebody who cleans the bedpans. She just kicked their ass. No, I'm kidding. She apparently assaulted them. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We got a couple of stories here about Lindsay Lohan, and we have a couple of stories about Lindsay Lohan, and we have a couple of stories about Lindsay Lohan, and we have, oh, yeah, the one in four people that flunk out when they try to get into the Army. Gary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry. Gary, is that you?
Hi, Phil. It's Gary Dupree. That's me.
Hey, what can we do for you, Gary?
Funny looking at you getting angry there on your video cast and getting really mad and everything. I just wanted to say that it was pretty funny. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me.
Why do you put that guy through?
There's Gary Dupree. That's me.
I don't care if he got what he because he's Gary Dupree. That's me.
Yeah, you heard of him?
No, I had never heard of him until he started bugging me on my show.
Well, I mean, that's what I heard of him when he called your show. But that's Gary Dupree. That's me.
I know it's Gary. What do you call him that for?
That's his name.
No, it ain't his name. Some goofy thing that he. Hi, Phil. It's Gary Dupree. That's me. What do you think? That makes him a celebrity or something?
Well, everybody knows him that way.
Like who? When you say everybody, who?
Yeah, well, me and Robert.
Oh, that's everybody. Okay, so you guys know him as Gary Dupree. That's me. That's great.
No. It's Gary Dupree, that's me. Well,
thank you very much, okay?
You know, hi, I'm Gary Dupree, that's me, that's great. You know?
Thank you. All right, here it is, man. This is it. Read it and weep, baby. This is the big story. I just got it over the pigeon, or I just got it by way of pigeon. Not real pigeon, but computer pigeon. Nearly one in four fails military exam. Nearly one in four of the students who try to join the U.S. Army fail its entrance exam, painting a grim picture of an education system that produces graduates who can't answer basic math, science, and reading questions, not to mention they're not even sure what an army's for. That's according to a new study released on Tuesday. The report by a nonpartisan education advocacy group, the Education Trust, bolsters a growing worry among military and education leaders that the young people of America are so dumb that you want to break down and weep. To many of our high school students, are not graduating, ready to begin college or a career, and many are not eligible to serve in our armed forces, U.S. Education Secretary Arnie Duncan said to the AP. Arnie, you better get on it, man.
I don't think that's Arnie. I think that's Ann.
Well, let's just call her Arnie. I'm deeply troubled by the national security burden created by America's underperforming education system, meaning our country is being defended by a handful of motivated and intelligent young people, and the overwhelming majority of them are laying around with their thumb parked up their ass. The effect of the low eligibility rate might not be noticeable now, the Department of Defense says. It's meeting its recruitment goals, but that could change as the economy improves. How could that change as the economy improves? What does that mean?
Then all these idiots are going to do other jobs and stuff.
Well, good. Let them do other jobs.
Yeah, well, they don't want them in the Army.
Yeah, but they still, you might be able to take an idiot and maybe educate him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, the effect of the low eligibility rate might not be noticeable now, but it could change as the economy improves. If you can't get the people that you need, there's a potential for a decline in your readiness, said Barnett, who is the Rear Admiral, if you'll pardon the expression. No, he's the Rear Admiral. He's a good man, and it's a very necessary rank, who is a part of the group Mission Readiness, a coalition of retired military leaders working to bring awareness to the high ineligibility rates. Ineligibility. But here are some retired guys, you know. These guys are in the military, and they're looking at it, and they're saying, man, we are in big, big, big trouble.
Think that's how they're talking?
Well, they gave this to these guys, these good gentlemen, you know, retired ladies and gentlemen. I don't know who's on the committee here, but they're, well, we got to figure it out. And what are they seeing? They're seeing a whole lot of nothing. They're looking and they're saying, man, I know that we pitched and, you know, we came in and we did about 7-8 innings. Now we need a little bit of relief from the bullpen, and we got nothing but numbskulls sitting out there. There's guys out there picking their noses, and they're running around trying to swat flies, and they're running around trying to catch foul balls. The report by the Education Trust found that 23% of recent high school graduates don't get the minimum score needed on the enlistment test to join any branch of the military. Forget it, man.
What about Explorer Scouts? Nothing like that, huh?
You know something, man? Are you trying to be funny?
I think you're just trying to be funny.
No!
Because you stopped and you went, what about the Explorer Scouts? So you tried to come up with a funny answer, huh?
No, I was trying to think of a military branch.
You're not that stupid, man. Look, you're not funny, so cut it out, okay?
Yeah, you think you are?
No, not tonight I'm not, but a hell of a lot funnier than you. Hey, what about the Explorer Scouts?
Yeah, man, you know the Explorer Scouts ain't no military.
Well,
just get out of here, bud. We'll be back with Lindsay Lohan, who, now this is funny, she beat up somebody at the Betty Ford Clinic. It's not funny, really, but it's, her life is beginning to make me laugh, and it didn't used to. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com for all your comic need. We're back up on the video stream, by the way.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
In a moment, I will tell you how I spent a Christmas Eve. That's right, coming up. Speaking of that, on the eve before Christmas Eve, on Christmas Eve, on Thursday night, in other words, which will be, well, Thursday night, we're going to reprise Phil Henry's Christmas Carol, and that will be airing at midnight Pacific time, 3 a.m. Eastern time here on the Phil Henry Network, and we suggest that you listen to that. And I haven't decided whether, you know, whether we're going to be able to get the actual, the video cast that we did last year. We have it. And I'll talk to Alex and the guys if we can go ahead and get that video cast ready to rock and roll at midnight, man. How do we do that? You know?
Well, I mean, they're going to be, the people had the video cast,
Yeah, man, spit it out.
I said the people are going to have the video cast, and then they're going to have to shut it off and look at another one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, no, he ain't right. He's never been right. You ain't never been right about anything.
What are you talking about?
No, I think he's right. I think the video cast will be on, and then people will have to turn off that video. Oh, we'll just have another video on demand. We'll have the what we'll do is we'll have not only, it'll be a video on demand. That's what it'll be. So we'll have the regular video cast of the show, and then we will have also, if you want to turn that video cast off and go turn off the live video cast and go to video on demand, we will have the Christmas Carol video on demand. How about that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what I was saying.
No, you weren't, man. You're going,
No, that's okay. I understand what you were saying.
I wasn't going,
Well, you were, bud. You were going,
When?
Just now, man, when you were talking to us, you're going,
No, I wasn't.
All right, man. You know what? That's one of the reasons why we have these recordings. You can go back and listen to them again. What the hell are you looking at, man?
Alien.
Alien? Is that alien?
Yeah, it looked like alien.
That's Winston Churchill. What is it with you guys, anyway?
I thought it was alien.
How do you figure that's alien? That's a Spitfire aircraft that they flew in World War II. Get out of here. What are you watching, Alien? Some documentary on the Flying Tigers.
I don't know. It looked like it.
Lindsay Lohan named a suspect in assault case at rehab. Staffer says Lohan was drunk and out of control. In other words, things were as usual in Palm Desert, California, ladies and gentlemen. At the Betty Ford Clinic, just weeks away from completing her court-ordered stay at the Betty Ford Center, Lindsay Lohan is being investigated by police after allegedly assaulting a female employee at the clinic. Palm Desert police conducted a battery investigation at the scene at about 1 a.m. on December the 12th. The victim desired prosecution, says Sergeant Joe Borgia of the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. The incident is being investigated as a misdemeanor. A source close to misdemeanor, Lohan, age 24, says the actress denies pushing the woman first. The staffer, Don Holland, scolded Lohan for allegedly returning past curfew after spending the evening at a local bar. According to Holland, in an interview with TM, are you putting me on a bar?
I thought the Betty Ford Clinic, they got you locked in.
In an interview with TMZ, an interview that Radar Online says cost TMZ $10,000, so the peeing match is on full swing there between Radar Online and TMZ. Like, you guys never paid for anything in your lives over at Radar Online. Yeah, sure. Dawn Holland explains what happened leading up to this assault, she alleges, from Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay and then two other patients had snuck out, went drinking, trying to sneak back in, and they got caught. And we were told by our administrator on call to do a breathalyzer test, which she refused to do. She was very angry and out of control. And the first incident was she pushed me when I had told her to take her hands off of another patient, which she had grabbed on the arm to keep her from going to talk to me in private.
All right. Is that the only thing we have there? Okay. So, anyway, that was the young woman. Her name is Dawn Holland. She said Lindsay and two roommates, you heard it, jumped a wall trying to get inside the room. She was staying without being noticed. Holland says security stopped the three women, and that's when Lindsay became belligerent and started swearing up a storm. Holland says she was called to do a breathalyzer on the three women, but Lindsay refused and then pushed her. Holland says she went back in the, into the house, and Lindsay called 911 on the house phone. Lindsay called 911 on the house phone. The propaganda... Propaganda. Where the hell am I here anyway?
It's Michael Chertoff.
Michael Chertoff then wins. What do you mean, Michael Chertoff? All right, so that's that story. I don't know where the hell we got that little thing. Fired Betty Ford worker says TMC paid her at TMZ paid her at least $10,000 to talk about Lindsay Lohan. So this Don Holland woman was canned. And we played that interview for you just a moment ago. The woman alleging Lindsay Lohan attacked her in a drunken rampage told Radar Online exclusively that TMZ paid her at least $10,000 for an interview and photos of her injuries. In an unpaid interview with Radar Online, Holland said she made an agreement with TMZ, the entertainment news website, to speak about the violent incident. I should have read this before the other one.
No, this is perfect.
All right, so anyway, so Holland worked as a clinical technician at the sober house treating Lohan until her sudden firing, as RadarOnline.com first revealed, because she talked to TMZ. Thank you very much, TMZ. Appreciate it. But you did get $10,000. Because she's a healthcare worker, she could be in violation of HIPAA laws. It's not known whether she and or TMZ will be prosecuted. Wow. Yes, ma'am, the ex-Betty Ford Clinic staffer replied when asked by a RadarOnline.com reporter if she was paid to speak out about her clash with Lohan in the early hours of December 12th. She said, "I'm not going to say much. I don't want to really talk that much.
Lindsay and then two other patients snuck out, went drinking.
But I really don't want to
sneak back in, and they got caught.
Talk
and,
much.
We were told by our administrator on call.
I ain't got much to say.
Test, which she refused to do. She was very angry and out of control.
Let me ask you a question. I just got done talking about how stupid these kids are coming out of high school. What is this woman? You know?
Yeah, I mean, she sounds dumb, too.
I mean, what is her claim to brains? I mean, any kind of brains.
What?
Well, what is she doing, man? First of all, she's talking to TMZ for 10 grand. Don't you think you'd ask somebody somewhere, is this cool? I mean, will I get fired? Does she think that by talking to TMZ and getting her 10 G's, she's going to be Kate Blanchett come 5 a.m. or something? I don't know, man.
Who's Kate Blanchett?
An actress. And I just, her name came up because I just saw her on TV. Anyway, I'm not going to say how much they paid me, but when questioned by Radar Online, it was somewhere between 10 and 15,000. She said, if I give you a ballpark then, well, then, yeah, it was, I don't understand why this woman would talk to anybody, tell anybody about anything, have anything to do with anybody. What is the story with this weird, weird woman? Radar Online has also learned that Holland has posed for a series of photographs showing the injuries she claims she suffered by Lohan, including a sprained wrist. Is this a payday? I mean, did she talk to a lawyer? The images are currently being shopped to media outlets around the world. Boy, this is a beautiful thing. You know, I'll tell you, there's nothing in the world, man, that's a greater intelligence test than Radar Online and TMZ and who they get to talk to them, you know?
By the way, they want an interview with you.
I'll take it. Now then, I'm kidding. Okay, but I mean, the point is, here's a woman that was a healthcare worker. This is a woman who was giving a breathalyzer test, a nurse, I don't know, some form of professional. You think she's got 5 cents for brains somewhere in the family. There must have been some brains. Now she confronts Lindsay Lohan. Now, what is she thinking? Is she thinking, here is a patient from the clinic, we're going to have to get this under control? Or is she thinking, aha, Lindsay Lohan? And are the little wheels turning in this woman's ever-shrinking brain as she sees Lindsay Lohan, and she thinks, well, so now that patient, even though she's Lindsay Lohan, this girl is at risk because she's got a healthcare worker there that isn't seeing a patient, she's seeing a payday. So they get into a scuffling match, whatever, like that's the first one she's gotten into because it's Lindsay Lohan. She's shopping the pictures. She's going to TMZ. She's getting her 10 G's. She suddenly is what? What is this? She doesn't want a career in healthcare?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, if that was Lindsay Lohan push you, you wouldn't do that?
No, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't.
Even if it meant you could sue her for a lot of money.
You know what? Call me crazy, but I've got this weird thing about self-respect and dignity. Forget about integrity. I got no integrity. But one thing I do have is self-respect and a little bit of dignity. And to be walking around with photographs of injuries that I might have suffered at the hands of Lindsay Lohan.
Well, you're a guy, so that'll look bad.
No, let's say I was a chick, or let's say it was a dude that beat me up. Whatever. I'm walking around and I'm showing off the injuries. Everybody in the world knows that Henry's looking for a payday. I wouldn't be able to look at myself in a mirror. No, no way. I don't give a damn. There's just some things, man. Some people might be able to do it. Some people would say, I got nothing. If I sue this guy, I could get myself maybe a couple of million. Some people may be able to do that. I can't do that. And you're telling me that if you were this woman, you'd do that?
Well, I mean, Lindsay Lohan would have to pay me because she hurt me and everything.
Yeah, but Bud, don't you understand how cheesoid that looks? You go from being somebody that works at a healthcare clinic, someone who is a, like I said, a healthcare professional, and within 5 seconds, you're shopping pictures of your injuries. You're getting $10,000. You're talking to anybody that'll talk to you. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. Does anybody who cares about this woman, this Dawn Holland, has anybody walked up to her to say, "Boy, you got to shut up"?
I don't know, man. I mean, look at, she's gonna try to get some money. She already got the $10,000, you know.
And that's another thing. How do I know how she got paid? How do I know how much she got paid? Because TMZ Radar Online got her to tell them. I mean, so in other words, she can't keep her mouth shut about anything. That's true, though, man. That happens to people that are media neophytes always wind up, and it's happened to me, the first time you talk to the press, you wind up looking like a complete horse's ass, you know?
What do you mean?
Because the quote you give is generally something that you regret giving. And you never shut up. And what you don't realize is that when you're talking to a reporter, every damn thing you say, they're writing down. So as the years went by, when I talked to somebody who's with a magazine or newspaper, this is how I talked to them. What is your name? My name is Phil Hendry. I mean, I'd say Phil Hendry if I was just talking to a normal person, but I'm sitting there thinking, okay, should I say Philip Stephen Hendry? Okay. And Phil, tell us about what you do. Now, when they give me that one, I got to really think, because if I say anything untoward, if I say anything that's too extraneous, man, they're all over me. They're all over me like white on rice. So forget it.
Now, a lot of people, you know, they just say something, and then they really think they look good, even though they look stupid.
Well, then there's those kind of people, yeah. There's people who say some of the dumbest crap, and they go, ooh, did you see what I said? Dumb crap. But this woman here, this Holland from this Betty Ford Clinic, she sounds like she's going to get eaten alive. Every time somebody asks her a question, she's opening her big fat yap and telling everything about everything. She got paid $10,000. And then here's what Lindsay did this time. And this is what Lindsay did the other time. Let's get some pictures taken of my injuries. Let's spread them all over the world. Maybe I can get out of this lousy job of mine and go someplace, anywhere, all the way to the FBI. All right.
Yeah, that's probably what Clarice Starling did.
Right. She was working at Betty Ford, man.
Yeah, Clarice Starling was at the Betty Ford Clinic, got all the way to the FBI. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Did we already do the 1 in 4 dumbasses can't make it out of the military? Yes, we did. I got a whole lot more to say about that. We will when we're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'll tell you what, if you got a subscription to our website today, let's say, and you flipped on the video you flipped the video cast on tonight, you think I'm a psychotic, you ain't far off.
I tell you, man, people get a belly full of you today.
If anybody bought a backstage pass today and they said, today I want to check out the Phil Hendry Show video cast, man, did you ever get an eyeball full of me? I mean, I was going berserk there 2 hours into the show. All right. But I'm better now. And we turned our video cast back on. And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So what else do you want me to tell you? You know what I forgot to do? I was going to tell people about that Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
The Christmas Eve that I spent, the famous Christmas Eve, because we talk about Christmas and we talk about, well, family this, family that, everybody going here, there. And what about the people that don't have anything to do, who are all by themselves? You know, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for anybody that says, gee, I don't know where I am and what I... Well, you'll learn, man. I'm new in town. I don't have any friends. Well, go out and make some friends. You know? Well, and I'm here and I'm there. Look, I am a very gracious guy, and I'm the first guy to say... I know I sound like a jackball on the radio, but I'm the first guy to say, hey, how you doing, man? Come on over. Have some dinner. Have a drink. But you got to make the effort, okay? You got to get up off your ass and get out of there. And even if it means going into one of your local taverns or sitting down and having dinner by yourself, have dinner by yourself. Yeah, let me tell you something. You know, I spent one of the greatest vacations I ever took in my life. In my entire life, I went up to one of my favorite hotels in the world at Big Sur, and I ain't telling you which one it is.
Post Ranch Inn.
And I... What are you doing that for, man?
He told you not to say nothing, man.
Well, I thought that was the one.
Telling people? I said I didn't want to say. Anyway, I went up there by myself because I wanted a few days away, and I was up there. Man, it was beautiful because I had this nice, big, beautiful room. Then I would have dinner. Now, this joint that I was at is one of these places where couples go. So there are all these couples sitting there, and they're all having their candlelight dinners, and they're all, and there were women together, you know.
Lesbians?
Yeah, bud. Maybe they were lesbians. God almighty.
Yeah, what? Of course they are.
Well, I don't know. They might have been girlfriends. Who knows? I don't know. But I was all by myself, and I was fine. And what was funny is people were feeling, so there was a couple behind me feeling sorry for me. And I'll never forget, I was talking to the waiter, and I said, what kind of tequilas you got? And we got into this very nice conversation, and finally this couple behind me, they couldn't stand it any longer. Would you like to share? No, that's, I'm perfectly fine. Do you want to sit down with it? No. Well, they still wanted to talk to me. What do you do? How do you do? And where do you do it? And I told them, and I was very, but I honest to God, I wasn't uncomfortable in the least. It was fantastic. It was a change of pace for me. And I sat there by myself well into the night. Of course, you know, I met a very cute guy, but.
Of course.
Exactly. And then, no, I'm kidding. But you'll never know. So that doesn't hang me up all that much. But as life would have it, you know, I don't get those opportunities. Now, this coming Christmas Day, just so you guys know, and then I'll tell you about my famous Christmas Eve. But this coming Christmas Day, if you have nothing to do, and I mean you are just, why don't you head on out to the Staples Center and watch the Lakers and the Miami Heat? Why, the tickets are only $540 a seat.
Man, that's more money than last year.
More money than last year. The average seat for a Laker game is 150, you know, well, let's call it $150 a seat. That's the average seat for a Laker game. In the Knicks, the average somewhere around 135, 140, okay? But on Christmas Day, right through the ceiling, Jack, the average ticket for a Laker game on Christmas Day, and the Lakers are playing this Christmas against the Heat, $540. Good luck. And if you want to get a courtside seat, if you can find a courtside seat, $8,000.
That's on account of Jack Nicholson, everybody.
That's right. Jack Nicholson's charging $8,000. So I can't really, I don't want to do that, but I don't want to do what I did one Christmas Eve because the guys were asking me, well, what about Christmas? I said, I remember one Christmas Eve that I spent. Because they were saying, well, if you don't have any family, if you're not particularly religious, if you are far away from home, what do you do? Well, that exact thing happened to me one year. I was in Orlando, Florida. I was like a year into my radio career. It was Christmas Eve. I think it was Christmas Eve, like 1973, maybe, or 1974. And I spent Christmas Eve, because I'm not religious, because I didn't have family, because I was far away from home, at an ABC liquor lounge in Orlando, Florida. Now, there may be some old-timers out there that...
What?
ABC liquor lounge.
What is that?
That's a... It's like you've never seen anything like it. It's a liquor store with a bar attached, you know?
So, in other words, if you buy... You can't wait to get home, or...
Yeah, if you see the liquor store and you think, boy, I'd really like to buy some booze, to hell with it. I think I'll just go into there and get drunk. You could do it. So I went into this place. Now, this place had vomit on the floor and...
Oh, jeez, man.
It was. It was funky. And I went in there, but 49 cents a drink, Jack, you can't beat.
You're kidding me.
I mean, well, today, I don't know what it is today, but we got to look at, find out what ABC Liquor Lounge charges for a drink now. But back then, it was 49 cents a drink. Now, that's a, you know, like it's a good ounce of whiskey or whatever. How are you going to pass up a deal like that? So I went in there with my friend Roy Karras, a Vietnam veteran, who was from, I'll never forget Roy, he was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He'd just gotten back from Vietnam a couple years before. And he and I went into the ABC Liquor Lounge on Christmas Eve and started piping back these 49-cent drinks. And I don't want to tell you what Roy did later, but it had something to do, it was a challenge with the bartender about putting something on the bar to see whose was... So,
get out of here, man.
I was, but the place was empty by then, and I left Roy there with his friend. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical director Charles Wang, and the associate producer is Dan Northcraft.
Phil Henry.
Bye.